I'm joined by Ingrid Newkirk. She is the founder and the president of PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. She is joining me today for her new book that she has written along with Gene Stone, and it is called Animal Kind, Remarkable Discoveries About Animals and Revolutionary New Ways to Show Them Compassion. And I was reading you, Ingrid, good morning to you today.
Good morning. How are you?
Real good. I was just reading about a little bit of your story about you were going to be a stockbroker, and something along the way changed that. Is that right?
Yes, thank goodness. I don't think I could sell stocks if my life depended on it, but that's for some reason where I was going. But I lived in the country, way out in the middle of nowhere, and my neighbor, which not close neighbor, but neighbor, moved away and left all these kittens behind. And they started to wander over onto my house. And I put them in the car and took them down to the animal shelter. And it wasn't a pleasant place. This was, you know, many, many years ago. And I felt very sorry for the animals who were there. They didn't know why they were there. They were clearly barking and mewing and wanting to know if they could get out. And so I thought, this is more what I want to do. I want to take care of animals. So I quit the brokerage and applied to clean the kennels. And they said, you're overqualified, which is, I've never understood that. How can you be overqualified for anything? You know, you're either qualified to do it or you're not. I knew how to clean, so I started work in the kennel, and from there I stayed in animal protection my whole rest of my life.
I told Ingrid the story of my beloved cat Cleopatra and her brother Anthony, who were absolutely basically they were an unsplittable pair that could not be separated. But he passed on, and so I became. To her, I became her Tony, and so I understand, and I think, and you understand probably as much as well as anyone what that sort of bond is like when the animal adopts you. It's really what it is.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we underestimate animals, but they're full of love. They're full of emotion. You know, they feel grief that she must have felt when Tony passed away. They feel grief, they feel loneliness, you know, they feel frustration, anger, joy, all the things that we used to think of were human traits, but they're not. They're shared traits. And some of them, these animals are amazing parents. They're very faithful to their life partners. They could teach us a thing or two. We have a society with a 45% divorce rate. You know, and then you have swans and geese and even pigeons, little pigeons who are good parents too, who stay together. They marry their high school sweetheart, basically, and they stay together for the rest of their lives. So, yeah, the animals love you if you're good to them, and they even love you sometimes if you're abusive.
And I guess you also, you studied, and it really is, I think, the thing about the book, Animal Kind, Remarkable Discoveries About Animals and Revolutionary New Ways to Show Them Compassion, is that, even at the lowest level of animals, there is emotion, isn't there?
Oh, there absolutely is. And you know, I question this. We've come to think of ourselves, our species, as almost gods. And then the rest of creation or the rest of species as, oh, who cares, kind of not so important. Maybe they're here for us to use. And I don't think it's that way at all. I think we're all in this together. It's a great symphony or orchestra of life. And if you know a dog, you know, for example, that dog has feelings, is loyal, is loving, is so excited to see you when you come home. Someone once said to me, my dogs are the only people who greet me like the Beatles when I come home.
Well, my cats, both Anthony and Cleopatra, when I got home, it was, I called them, well, I for whatever reason, I would call them my puppy cats. I said, they were not cats. They were coming home. When I came home, it was like, okay, oh my, it would the happiest it was they would literally jump on me and it would be happy, you know, happy days are here again kind of thing. But I think that's really the thing that is most impressive is that it goes through you have this is something that is pretty much throughout the animal kingdom. But I want to tell you something. I had an interview very recently with the president and the head of the Paw Animal Shelter, and I wanted to tell you that one of the things, or I guess another positive thing, if there is a positive out of the COVID-19 pandemic, is that at that particular shelter, and I'm going to guess this is probably true pretty much around the country, she said, animal adoptions are up 1,000%.
Yes, but we must be cautious here, because one of the great things we fear is that when this pandemic is less frightening and people start emerging again and going back to work and going about their business, they will no longer need those animals in their lives. And all the people who took in foster dogs and cats and rabbits and guinea pigs may decide, haven't got time for them now, and put them back outside. And the other thing, of course, is to go out for a dog. And sorry to be with dogs when I know you're a cat person, but you know, when you take a dog outside, it's not just to do their business. It's an excursion for them. They have these amazing nostrils, this amazing sense of smell. And for them, they don't want to be sitting inside staring at the wall with their legs crossed all day waiting for you to come home hour after hour. They want to be out there. And that walk is when people are busy and people are a bit self-obsessed, they hurry the dogs along on their walk. Dogs like to smell the bushes because they're reading the internet. That's their news. Those noses can smell biochemical changes in people. That's why they can know you're going to have an epileptic seizure before you do, or can root out a cancer that they know you have, a precancerous growth even. But they can smell who went by, when they went by, what kind of condition they were in. It's why they like sticking their noses out of the car. Let them sniff. But please, after this is all over, keep the family member. Make arrangements for them during the day. Never hurry them on their walk. Play with them, cat, dog, hamster, at home. Give them a life.
Let me tell you one more quick story. We bought a new house. It was 31 years ago. We bought a new house. We had lived in a house that had a large screen front porch, and that was where we had one cat then named Grizzly, and the porches was the outside world. So when we were looking for a house, we found a nice neighborhood, and we found a large screened-in patio with floor-to-ceiling outside screens that the cats could go outside and could chase birds and squirrels and smell the air and take their time out there. So we actually bought our house for our cats.
That is perfect. And a screened-in porch. No, that is how it should be. You know, we should be looking out for what do they need in their lives, not what use are they to us. But a screened-in porch is fantastic. Some people I know who have a fenced yard and don't have a screened-in porch put angle wire at the top so that cats cannot go out over the top. It's a natural barrier for them, or a constructed barrier for them. But they need to. All animals need to scratch in the dirt. They need to scratch on the tree. They need to see things. They need to smell fresh air. And you know, cats get respiratory infections if they can't have fresh air. So that's a wonderful thing. But it's not safe to let them out on their own.
No, I would agree with that.
Predators, they get diseases. It's best to keep them in, but they've got to have a room with a view, a screened-in porch, or a properly fenced yard they can't get out of.
Well, anyway, there's a lot of emotions, and I think that one of the things that the book Animal Kind, it describes all of the emotions. Also, the fact you have a long the history of man's inhumanity to animals, the history of what animals used for entertainment, animals used for the abuse to sheep, for you getting wool, or the leather trade and all of the other things. And of course now, and PETA is probably most, outrageously known. I'm not sure if outrageous is the right word, but a lot of Hollywood celebrities, I'd rather be naked than wear fur. I'm going to guess the fur trade is way down. Is that a safe bet?
Well, you know, people made fun of us when we started, which is 40 years ago now, saying fur is dead. And you're right, the celebrities posed pretending to be naked, saying I'd rather go naked than wear fur. Today, you're hard-pressed to find a designer or a retailer, any major outlet that has fur. Fur really has gone. No young people want fur. When I was growing up, it was a status symbol, no more. And now people are finding alternatives to leather, because there have been all these exposés of the leather trade and the cruelty involved in it to these gentle deer cows and so on. And so you've got pineapple leather and apple leather and grape leather, cactus leather. And you are so good to mention sheep, because people say, oh, sheep, wool can't be a problem. It's just a haircut. And we have been in shearing sheds on every continent except Antarctica, because there aren't any on Antarctica.
Okay.
And we have found the people, the men who, and it's always men, unfortunately, they're hurrying. Some of them are on amphetamines so they can go quicker. Smash the sheep, gentle deer sheep, in the face with the metal clippers, stand on their necks, toss them down, and they are cut to shreds. So no, it's not just a haircut, it's a horror. And the videos are all on the website. But there are lots of alternatives, so that's grand.
And also, we talked a little bit about the fact that, yes, it's a the amount of what we call the meat diet is now changing, because there are so many alternatives to utilizing meat. And I was mentioning the Wonder Burger, but they've got beef, pork, chicken. All of those are now available in virtually identical in vegetarian form. And that's a change. That's a huge change from a few years ago, isn't it?
It's a huge change. And you go to the supermarket and you see people staring for 10 minutes at the non-dairy milks, the plant milks. They can't decide if they want the soy or the almond or the rice or the macadamia or the, so the selection is huge. And you don't have to go to a health food store or co-op now. It's everywhere. The Beyond Burger. The other day I was passing by Dunkin' Donuts. I went for a cup of coffee because they have soy milk there too. And they have the Beyond Sausage for a breakfast sandwich.
Yeah.
And so Hardee's has the Beyond Sausage breakfast sandwich. This Beyond, I really challenge anyone who loves meat to say, oh, no, that's not good enough. It's phenomenal. And it's everywhere. So yes, you can get Gardein fish fingers or whatever they're called, fish fillets, and you can get chicken nuggets that aren't made of chicken. And the exciting thing is these big meat companies like Tyson's and Smithfield, they're investing because they know the market is shifting for health reasons, for environmental reasons, for cruelty expose reasons. They are diversifying into making soy not just to feed cattle and then pump it back to you in some inefficient way, but to give it directly to people so that they can use it themselves. And we have recipes, we've got cookbooks, we've got mentors. Anybody wants to give vegan foods a try, guaranteed, there's a taste alike for everything, and you'll be healthier for it and kinder for it.
Indeed. Ingrid Newkirk, it's been a pleasure having you with us. The book is called Animal Kind. I know it's available on Amazon. I know you can get the Kindle version of it. I know I'm going to guess it's available as well in all major bookstores. Is that right?
It is, if they're open.
If they're open. Hey, they are opening. We are gradually seeing the reopening of those stores here in Iowa. So at least things look like they are gradually, maybe not normal, but they are at least slowly, they are slowly getting back to a more normal life. And I want to thank you very much for joining me today.
Oh, thanks so much. I hope people enjoy the book.
Thank you, Ingrid. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.